Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it is the 23rd chapter, 33 through 43. Hear the word of the Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "The King, this is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." We have a third lesson this morning from Colossians. And we'll start in chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things, in heaven and on earth, were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. For he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Happy New Year's Eve. Didn't expect that, did you? You might think jet lag finally took over, or I've lost my mind. I think that too sometimes. But no, really today is a kind of New Year's Eve, because today marks the last Sunday before the beginning of the Christian year. Next week, while the calendar will still call this year 2016, we, as the body of Christ, will start our new year. A year that is always begun with anticipation, with waiting, waiting for an arrival, the definition of Advent. Advent is a time when we are waiting and reminded that we are waiting for Jesus, both to come again and when we celebrate the waiting that happened when all creation waited for the birth of a Savior, Jesus Christ himself. I'm getting ahead of myself, though. We aren't in Advent quite yet. Right now, we're celebrating Christ the King Sunday, this day so named as a feast in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. Pius XI reflected that Christ has dominion over all creatures, a dominion not seized by violence nor usurped, but by his essence and by his nature. According to an article in America, the National Catholic Weekly, this was because Pius reflected the people of the day had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives. The Pope went on to claim that as long as individuals and states refused to submit to the rule of our Savior, there would be no really hopeful prospect of a lasting peace among the nations. Seems like the long dead Pope Pius XI could have been speaking about just such times as now, considering the amount of conflict, war, and upheaval happening in the world. Christ the King Sunday is made for such a time as this. From the Shepherd King in the passage from Jeremiah, with promises of wisdom, justice, righteousness, and safety, to the Christ hymn from Colossians, reminding us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, to Jesus hanging on the cross and still claiming God's grace and forgiveness for others. Scripture reminds us again and again that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. For in him, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We find language about Christ being the Lord of all creation not only in Scripture, but in our heritage as Presbyterians as well. Every person who is a member of this congregation has professed faith in Jesus when they answered the three questions from our Presbyterian Church USA Book of Order to declare their faith. Those three questions are as follows. Do you renounce evil and affirm your reliance on God's grace? Do you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? That second question, do you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is, in some ways, asking the question, is Jesus your King? And while we use language for Jesus as King, we don't have a very clear understanding of what it means to have a King. In fact, most of us have come from generations of people who fled to this country to escape the kind of governance that involved a monarchy. Now, we don't know at our core anymore what it is like to live in a monarchy, because we live in a democracy, one in which, whether or not we agree with those in power, continues to give us the freedom to express our religious beliefs, to love our neighbors and our enemies, and to use our agency to advocate for people who are poor, downtrodden, outcast, refugees. We advocate for the worthiness of every human being. But members of a democracy, though we may be, In our faith heritage, the core of who we are relies on being under the monarchy of God. The core of our Hebrew ancestors who were led out of Egypt by Moses, who were brought to the promised land by Joshua, and who found great security and strength under the leadership of King David. In their core was a deep desire to have a king seated on the throne again. You can hear echoes of this desire in our passage this morning from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. After centuries of persecution, after three exiles, after the destruction of the temple, first century Jews ached for a king, for a mighty ruler who would protect with wisdom and set up a kingdom of power. They were ready for that branch off the tree of David to come and save Judah and Israel. It is unlikely, though, that any of them were imagining a poor itinerant preacher from Nazareth. And yet, that is exactly the king God gives to us. While Jesus does not declare himself king, he does speak regularly about the kingdom of God. Only the kingdom of God was a little backward to the kingdoms we might have in our mind's eye. Instead of a kingdom starting out with a bang, the kingdom of God is like the smallest of seeds that eventually grows into the largest of bushes. The kingdom of God does not belong to those with great power and wisdom, but rather to children. You can't buy your way into the kingdom with piles of gold like King David had. In fact, dependency on and desire for wealth might actually keep you out of the kingdom. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not about dominating. It is about healing. It is not about conquering. It is about gathering together at a table. The wise men were the first in the scripture to call Jesus the king of the Jews. Where is he? They asked Herod. The child who has been born the king of the Jews, for we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. This is the only time in scripture that the term is used for hope. Pilate shows curiosity when he asks Jesus if he is the king of the Jews, to which Jesus responds elusively, "You say so." But other than that, it is simply a title used to mock Jesus. If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself, the soldiers of today's scripture passage sneer. Save yourself and us, derides one of the criminals hanging next to him. But Jesus didn't come to save himself. He didn't come to demonstrate almighty power over everyone. He didn't usher in a kingdom of instant security and great wealth. He didn't immediately heal every last person who was sick or instantly provide for everyone who was in need. And he most certainly did not come to claim himself as king, even if the title rightfully belongs. Instead, he came to do the kinds of things that kings do with great integrity. He came to pardon, and he came to reflect not an earthly kingdom, but the kingdom of God. He came to be a good shepherd. He came not to conquer earthly enemies, but to conquer enemies that keep us from full union with God. Jesus came to usher in the kingdom of God. while kings do many things. Our passages this morning point especially to Jesus as King, the Pardoner. Even as he is humiliated, tortured, and crucified completely unjustly, Jesus prays on behalf of those who torture him. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. On this day, when we celebrate Jesus as King, we celebrate the depth of God's grace, that in Jesus Christ we are all forgiven people. There is no longer a list of sacrifices. This sin costs 2 doves. This sin costs 1 lamb. We are free and clear, so that the gap between us and God has been closed in Jesus, our King. The criminal on the other side of Jesus, the one not spitting out sarcasm even as he himself is being crucified, that man seems to have some insight into Jesus. Perhaps he heard the prayer Jesus uttered to God on behalf of his tormentors. Perhaps Jesus had a presence about him even as he hung on that cross. Perhaps that criminal had heard Jesus or listened to his teaching or simply understood on some mysterious level that Jesus had more about him than what first met the eye. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus acknowledged the full pardon, the full recognition that he is indeed King when he replies, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Do you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? In other words, is Jesus your King? He didn't come to sit on a throne. He didn't come to overthrow the Roman Empire. He didn't come dressed in royal garb with lots of wealth. He came in to usher in the kingdom of God, to unite us with God on a whole new level, and to grant us full pardon. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Today marks the end of our year. I can't think of a better way to end the year than with the reminder of the generous grace and peace found in Jesus Christ, our King. To be reminded that we are a people of gratitude and stewardship and generosity of heart and of all that we have. To be reminded that God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Regardless of your political views, as the body of Christ, we are indeed better together. Because of Jesus Christ and our faith in this house, we practice reconciliation and forgiveness. Because of Jesus Christ and our faith at Westminster, we seek to remind ourselves what we believe at our core, even when we don't agree with the details along the way. Because of Jesus Christ and our faith, here Black Lives Matter and racism is an abomination. Because of our faith, we welcome and value every member of this community, regardless of wealth, abilities, gender, background, or sexuality. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are reminded again and again and again of who we are and whose we are. On Friday, a friend of mine, a friend of this church, of the Thursday morning group, Pema, a Buddhist nun from Joyful Path at West Blue Mounds, posted a sermon of mine from a few weeks back on All Saints Day. I listened to it, despite every minister's displeasure at listening to their own sermons. And as I sat at my desk, I cried. The sermon moved me, not because of my own words or insights or thoughts, but because of the disconnect in my own life between the hope that I preach on Sundays and the hopelessness that I feel at other times. It was a pointed reminder to me that I stand up here on Sundays preaching to all of us, myself included, not of what we have already accomplished, but instead of whom we can be in Jesus Christ, broken, flawed, and saints. It's why we come to church on Sundays, not to pat ourselves on the back for our goodness or righteousness, but to be reminded again who we are and whose we are. We belong above all else to our King, Jesus Christ, in whose paradise kingdom we live right now, this very day, and forever. Thanks be to God.